So we're going to look this morning. My scripture this morning, you might say, well, it doesn't really fit, but it does fit. My message this morning is going to be fairly short, okay? The introduction is going to be about 45 minutes, but the message will be short. when I finally get there, you know, you'll know. It's kind of a two-part, though. It is a two-part message, and I'm going to give you some background, and then we're going to go into what God says about the whole thing. And you saw Winnie the Pooh sitting there and the trees getting water up around them and stuff like that. Do you ever feel like sometimes in your life the water just keeps raising and raising and raising, and you're standing up on top of the rock now and you've got your mouth out with the straw out? You ever see that, how they breathe underwater with the straw up through the thing? You know, do you ever feel that way in life? You know, sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the storms of life and the storms that come into our life. But God's word tells us what it's about. And we can fail in the storms, but we can also not fail. And so we're going to look this morning at Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. I'll read it from here. I don't know what version this is. But therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, I want you to understand, this scripture is talking to all of us here. Okay, this scripture is addressing us that when we hear God's word, we have a choice. We are either able to do it or we don't do it. That's a choice. You do it or you don't do it. And so he says, when you hear the word and you're a doer, you don't just hear it, but you're a doer, then you're like building a house on a rock. Now, you build the house on a rock, and guess what happens? It takes a long time for that rock to be washed away underneath you. Now, we know that he's talking here. The rock is Jesus Christ that we build our house upon. The house is us and our life and what we're doing with our life. And so I want you to understand, it's not the only place in the scripture. If you look like in Mark, it has the scripture of the seed that was planted. And some of it fell to the wayside, and some of it started to grow, but got choked out by the deceits of the world. Oh, the deceits of the world. And some of it was okay. If you look at that story there, it's about 25% of the seed was okay. 75% of the seed died. That's not a good ratio. But it said the ones that were the seed that was good were what? The doers of the word. The doers of the word. And if you don't believe me, you can find that in Mark 4. And they were doers. They produced fruit. They produced because they were doers. So I want you to understand is that we have to be doers of the world. Now, there was a trial lawyer one day had to defend his client. And his client was being charged with murder. Now, there was no corpse. They had not found a corpse. Okay. Now, I find it hard to understand how you can charge somebody with murder when you never find a dead person. Okay? But there was no corpse, but all the testimony was circumstantial and stuff and that. And it really was kind of a lost cause. He felt, my client's going to lose. And in an act of desperation, he said, I'm going to tell you my client is not guilty and I'm going to prove it to you. In about 1 minute, the person that's supposed to be dead is going to walk through that door. And he looked at the door. And all the jurors turned and looked at the door. And nobody walked in. And he said, now, he said, I want you to understand. He said, the reason you looked at the door is because there's some doubt, because we don't have a corpse. He said, yeah, I played a little bit of deception here. He wasn't really walking through the door. But in your mind, you looked with anticipation because there was doubt in your mind. And if you have doubt in your mind, I say you must find the guy not guilty. So the jury went out and deliberated. And about 5 minutes, they come back and they got up and the guy was feeling pretty good. You know, he said, oh man, you know, they must have really. And they read the verdict and they said, we find the man guilty. And the guy says, how can you find him guilty? You all looked with anticipation. And they said, yeah, but your client never looked. See, there was no doubt in his mind. The client's mind knew. But everybody else looked with doubt. You know, deceit is a funny thing, isn't it? And I want you to understand something, is that deceit is what Satan has in mind for each one, every one of us. Repeat after me. Satan cannot defeat me if he cannot deceive me. Do you believe that? Satan cannot defeat me if he cannot deceive me. Now, why would I say that? Why, you know, Satan cannot defeat me if he cannot deceive me? Well, because I'm saying it's the Word of God. Satan can't make you sick. Satan can't take your wealth. Satan can't do anything to you unless he deceives you into believing it's truth. Because, see, God only gives Satan a limited amount of power. And so when God says to Satan, you can do certain things, but there are certain things you can't do. You know, look what he did with Job. And what did Job's response was? Job was sitting there, and there was a point in Job's life that he's like, man, maybe I should just die. Maybe it is that bad. Maybe I should. Because Satan was starting to deceive him that maybe it was his fault. Maybe it was him. Maybe he was the cause. But that's not true. If you look in Revelations, you'll see that in Revelations it talks about the angels will bind Satan, and it says in there, so that he can deceive the nations no more. It doesn't say so he can't make them sick, so he can't take away. Satan's power is in the power of deception. And so he deceives us into believing. And that's why I said this scripture that we just read is, if we hear the word and we do it, guess what? Satan can't hurt us. If you have your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 30:19. Deuteronomy 30:19. Listen to what the Word of God says. Listen to what this says. And read this. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, and you and your descendants. By loving your God, by obeying his voice, by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days. Okay? Did you hear what I read? Listen again. I have set before you life and death and blessing and curse. So choose. You know, God won't even force blessings on us. Have you ever thought about that? God does not force blessings upon us. God does not force life upon us. God does not force death upon us or cursing. It says what? It's there. You choose what you want as part of your life. And so Satan is that deceiver that comes in and says a whole lot of stuff that's not true. And he says, if we have that choice to choose blessing and life, do we really not have a choice then to choose whether Satan can attack us and defeat us? What did you say up front when I asked you to repeat? Anybody remember what we said? How quickly it went. What's that? Satan cannot defeat us if he cannot deceive us. Okay? When the Bible says in Revelation that he is going to be cast and he's going to be bound, it says what? So he can deceive the nations no more. Satan is all about deceptions. And there is a whole wealth of things that he wants to deceive us on. What is deceit? What is deceiving? What is deception? Anybody know? Anybody want to guess? Anybody tell me what your interpretation is? What's that? Oh, I'll tell you what, she gets an A today. Tricking you into believing that something's true that isn't true. Is that easy? Sure is. I can make you believe all kinds of things because I can be very convincing and tell you, well, this. I can give you information that I only want you to have and make something look correct. Make it look true. Deception, deceit, is taking something and convincing a person of the validity or truth of something that is not true. So when you think about that and you think about what the scripture says that Satan is deceiving the nations, what's he doing? What are the nations in the Word of God? Us. Satan is deceiving us. If you read into his Word, it says that Satan could deceive even the very elect. Satan's got a powerful weapon in deception. And so, do we build our house on a rock, which is Jesus Christ and his word, or do we build it on the sand, which is, in other words, the world? And that's what you have to start looking at, is where do you build your house? I'm going to tell you, Satan's a liar. He's going to lie to you. He's going to try to make you believe it. He's here. He's going to do everything he can. But I will tell you one thing. Satan does absolutely not have any new tricks to play on you. It's been the same. Satan's weapons are the same. So that's my intro. See, I told you it was going to be 45 minutes, but it wasn't. But deception is a choice. Deception is a choice. Whether we believe the deception is a choice. Because what did I read in Deuteronomy? Your life has life and death, blessing and curse. Do we all have curse? What did God say? Choose. Right, choose. Guess what? When did the curse come? When man chose, huh? Did God put the curse on before man chose? What did he do? He said, here's all the things that you can do. And lo and behold, Adam and Eve, what did they do? They chose. And then the curse came. Understand, Satan can't defeat us if he can't deceive us. I'm going to ask something right now, but I don't know if it'll happen. I don't want to embarrass her. She's sitting back there. I have another portion of scripture that is really where the heart of my message is. And my youngest granddaughter, Austin's youngest sister, yesterday said, "Do you want to hear my Bible memory verse?" And lo and behold, guess what it was? The scripture that I have chosen. And so I said, "Good, you can stand up and say that in church tomorrow." And she says, "No, Pap, I don't want to." And I told her this morning that she could do it, but I'm going to leave it up to her. If she wants to come up and do it, I'll let it. If not, then I'll just do it myself. So, Savannah, I don't want to put you on the hot seat. It's your choice. It's your choice. What do you choose? Is this one on, Dave? Yep, I hear it.
Ephesians 6:10-18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints."
Thank you, Savannah. That's what I said. I heard somebody say, "Wow," and I said that yesterday. Because when she said about a memory verse, I thought she was going to do a verse. And then she did the whole armor of God thing. And I'm sitting there. She's in the back seat. We're driving. We had gone to get, we were going to get ice cream. And she starts off. And I'm listening. And I'm saying, "Man, that's my whole thing." You know, she's got it all. You know? And so this is what I want you to look at this morning. Okay? Some of us don't understand the armor of God. The armor of God, as it's listed in Ephesians, is for one purpose. Every piece of that armor is for one purpose. And that is to stand against the wiles, trickery, the deceit of Satan and his host. You know, it's just not Satan. Okay? Satan can use, it says what, rulers and principalities and people, he can use. He's got angels to follow. There's many, many, many avenues that Satan uses to deceive us. And so God put in his word there, "All right, I'm giving you an armor so that you can stand against not flesh and blood." Not flesh and blood. Okay? It's easy to stand against flesh and blood, isn't it? Right? I know what I'm fighting. But see, it says that you're standing against not flesh and blood, but you're standing against the principalities and the wiles of Satan. So I want you to understand that there are, don't kill me if I'm wrong because I didn't count them, but I think there's 8 things there that are maybe 7, but the first one is kind of in a general thing, so that's where I'm going to be getting 8. He says, "Put on the armor of God, the whole armor of God." Why don't you think he says just put on part of the armor? Because if you put on part of the armor, are you able to withstand all the wiles of Satan? And I think that you'll understand that that's not the way it is, that we can't withstand the wiles of Satan, because we have to put on the full armor. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against powers, against the world. Against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So take up the full armor that you will be able to stand. All right. Deception one. Satan's not real. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Satan's not real. Oh, come on, man. You know, you really believe that there's this guy with horns and a red suit and pitchfork that's running around? Isn't that what people picture Satan as? So Satan's first deception is, I don't exist. I'm not real. I'm not part of this world. And so when you look at it, you understand that here's the thing is you wrestle against what? Not flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against. So if you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, can you understand why some people think it's not real? And that is the first deception that Satan uses is there's no such thing as Satan. He's not real. You know, it's just people's attempt to get you to believe in this religion thing. But Satan is out there and he's attacking. And his deception is to convince you that he's not a real person. He doesn't have a real identity. And he doesn't have any impact on you. And so that's his first deception. And so we start putting on the armor of God to defeat this being that is not fair. Okay, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You know? I'd rather wrestle against somebody I can get a hold of and stomp on and be able to see than not, you know, what I don't know. Deception one. But if you do not believe that deception, he comes right back with another deception. Okay? And the other deception is, all right, if you think Satan's real, you can't beat him. Satan says, you can't beat me. Others have tried. Others that are more spiritual than you. Others who have been in a church for a long time. Look at those around you. Look at the many preachers and ministers that have failed. Look at all these people around you. You can't beat me. I'm stronger than any of you. That's deception number two. Deception number two is, you can't beat me. So why try? You know? Was it deception in Goliath, his size? Huh? Now imagine. Okay? You got this guy that's how tall was Goliath? Anybody know? Huh? What's that? 9 or 10 feet. That's a big dude. Right? That's a big dude. Now, David was 12 years old. How big was David? Huh? Rick says, my height. Yeah. And Goliath was standing there before the armies. And he was shouting to them and he was saying, you can't beat me. You can't beat me. Come on. You're all sissies. Was Goliath beatable? It only took one person to say, wait a minute. I don't believe that. I have God. Oh, guess what? When Satan starts hammering on you and says, you can't beat me. Remember 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, which is sound-minded, and be diligent. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about and seeks whom he can devour. You were in Africa on part of your missionary journey, right? Did you ever see a lion? No? I've never seen a lion out in the wild. You know, you go to the zoo, you see the lions. Are they lions? By blood, I guess they are, but it's not what I would expect a lion to act like most of the time. You know? You go to the circus and you see this lion doing tricks, you know? Oh, I'm going to go out in the African safari and I'm going to have this lion come up in front of me and balance on a ball. Why does a lion roar? Anybody know? Okay. Somebody else want to take a guess? Huh? Okay. He's the king of beasts. And what's the roar tell you? I'm here and you better have fear. Right? Fear me. Because I am the lion. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were out in Africa by yourself in the middle of nowhere, and you heard the lion roar about 10 feet from you, would you have fear? Anybody here says, that wouldn't bother me a bit. Huh? Okay, well, pay attention. Because the scripture says, Satan is like the roaring lion. And so, what is Satan going to do? He's going to create fear in you so he can deceive you. Whoa. Do we have to fear Satan? He's real. He's there. Do we have to fear him? We don't. Oh. What did that scripture back in Deuteronomy say? That we could choose. We could choose. Satan can't defeat you if he can't deceive you. So let's look at what the Word of God says about the armor. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Number one safeguard against Satan is know the truth. Because why? What is Satan? Huh? The father of lies, right? Isn't that what the scripture tells us? That he's the father of lies? All right? If I tell you that this plant is red, to those of you that are colorblind, you might have some doubts. But those of you who have been taught that this plant is green, you know what it truly is, right? No, because they all taught you wrong. It's red. No. See, if you know the truth, can you be deceived by the untruth? No. So the first thing that you have to do is to therefore put around you your loins, girt yourself with truth. Okay? You need to understand and know God's word in order to defeat Satan. You need to understand it. How do you get there? Studying, reading, learning, preaching, teaching. And what do we do in today's society? We don't read our Bible very much. We don't study very much. We don't attend small group studies. We don't go to church only when we want to go to church. We don't. So how many Christians really know the truth? More than one, I'm sure. But the thing is, understand, because what he's saying is, what you cannot do is go out into this world without knowing the truth, because they are going to tell you the Bible's not true. It's a story. It's a good story, but it's still a story. You really believe all that stuff in the Bible? the Bible is truth. So they'll start trying to convince you that the Bible is not true. That they'll start telling you that you don't understand. Satan will deceive you. But Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Free from what? The wiles of Satan. The deception. The lies. Free from the lies. Second thing is put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, think about this here, okay? I want you to think about this message because I'm telling you what Satan uses and why God gives us this. The breastplate of righteousness. Guess what Satan's next attack is? Anybody know? Your heart. Anybody here ever feel that I'm not worthy of being a Christian? Have you ever felt that? I'm not worthy of the blessings of God. I'm not worthy. And guess what? Satan's going to convince you that you're not. He's going to try to convince you that, well, yeah, but look. You know, you really aren't. Look at what you did. Look at what you did in your life. Look at the things, you know. He's constantly wants to point at our background, at things that happen, that are past, or things that are currently happening in our life. And he's saying, you're not really worthy of being God's child. And so God says, all right, I give you the breastplate of righteousness. Why? Because God says, if I made you worthy, you're worthy. Who's worthy? Anybody here born, you have a monkey for a dad and mom? Huh? No, none of you? Okay. So you're all human. Well, some semblance of human. God says all of you are worthy. And so he gives us the breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart, because the first thing that Satan wants to do is to get us to start thinking is because of our past, our heart can't be right with God. Our heart can be right with God, even though we have sin in our lives. God wants us to get rid of sin. But do you understand? Sin just doesn't go away on its own. He says the tribulation and trials of this world that you will go through. That's a guarantee, okay? You will go through trials and tribulations. So that's another deception, is you are not worthy. He wants you to think that. And this is reality. I'm sick because of something I did. I'm poor because of something I did. I'm suffering because of something I did. In reality, God's saying that everything you did is forgotten. But what does he say? As long as you live in the world, you will face the trials and tribulations of this world. Okay? He doesn't give us a free pass. We don't have a hall pass to go through life without any trials and tribulations because we've accepted him. We're all the same. There is no discrimination. God says you will all go through. Why? Because the curse was put upon Adam and Eve. And God says through the curse is what? What came with the curse? Sickness, death, all those things came with the curse. Okay? God says, oh, but we have a choice now. Okay? Are we born with that curse? Yeah, we're born under that curse. God cursed humanity when Adam and Eve fell short. But he said, hey, I'll make a way. And that's what Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ came to be the way that we can get beyond that curse. So the breastplate of righteousness is guarding our heart so that Satan, when he throws those lies of deception and starts telling us that, well, look at your life. You can't be a Christian. It's a lie. And if he can get you to believe it, guess what? So what's the next one? Put on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is a good one because we don't think about this one. Okay? This is a deception of Satan's that we don't think about, okay? This is one that kind of slips in that your own life is too busy for you to do stuff for God. Your own life is too busy for you to do stuff for God. Do we ever get to the time where Satan's telling us you're too busy to do something for God? Well, I'd like to help and I'd like to do that, but I am just so busy. Does God want you to stop sometimes and smell the roses? Yeah, but I am so busy. And so Satan says, hey, you have a busy life. You got to work. You got other priorities. You got to take care of your family. You got to take care of your house. You got to cut the grass. You got to do this. You're too busy. So, hey, you know, the church asks for you to do this, but don't do it because I'm so busy. And what do? We listen to that deception and we go to somebody and we say, well, I really can't do it because I'm just so busy. Hey, have you ever heard anybody say, I can't do that for the church because I'm too busy? That's a deception. And so what the scripture says is we need to put on the gospel peace and shod our feet with them. Why? If we really understand the truth of the Word of God, can we ever be too busy to serve God? Should we ever be too busy to serve God? And that's another one of Satan's deceptions. He says, you're just too busy. Another deception that God gives us a thing. The deception is it doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter what you believe. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, take the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Satan knows that what you believe directly affects the decisions you make. What you believe directly affects the decisions you make. What's Proverbs say? Anybody know what it says there? As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you believe directly impacts the decisions you make. And so, what's Satan trying to do? Doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter. And so God says, hey, Satan's going to try to get you to believe that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you this shield. It's called a shield of faith. And if you have faith, those darts that he's hurling at you are going to just bounce off. And he says they're fiery darts. Okay? Fiery darts. I liken it as to when you watch some of these old movies and stuff and how the ancient people used to fight and they lit their arrows on fire and they shot them through the air. That's a fiery dart. Can you imagine? You see this flame coming through the air and it hits you? It's not bad enough that the arrow hits you, but now you're burning. Satan is hurling fiery darts at us. And we have a shield of faith. We have to understand that shield of faith says that I am based on God's word. So if I believe something other than God's word, then would I really believe that Satan can't defeat me if he can't deceive me? Because see, we already think Satan's more powerful. How many here believe Satan's more powerful than you are? Well, y'all should have your hand up because he is. I didn't say how many believe that Satan is more powerful than God in you is. I said, than you are. Absolutely he is. So how do you think you can fight him on your own? You can't. That's why God gives us the armor that we can stand forth. So he says, it doesn't matter what you believe. The shield of faith is to protect us from the circumstances of the world. The things that are around us, that's shield of faith. What we believe is important. Now, I'm not talking about doctrine, okay? I'm not saying a word about doctrine. I'm saying what you believe. If you believe in a word of God, and you believe that God saves you through faith, through grace, and it's a gift only from Him, you're on the right track. A lot of people believe it's what I do. or who I am. Can't get to heaven on your faith. I can't get to heaven by observing what you do. I have to do what God tells me to do. So Satan's throwing those darts to get us to believe that this world's going to have an impact when God's saying through faith, this world doesn't have an impact. So then you got a helmet of salvation. What's the helmet cover? Your head. What's in your head? Huh? Your mind. Nobody's going to say nothing. But think about this. Think about this. Your thoughts. And we don't often think about this. I mean, this is something that we don't think about. But our thoughts. And I love this. I love this verse, but it's scary. In Genesis, it says, you know what it says in Genesis?
Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff. Okay, in Genesis it says, and there is a scripture that says this. It says, all thoughts and understanding is given to you. You have a mind that has the ability to think. You have a mind that has the ability to build, to create. Some of you have some great hobbies, huh? Huh? Some of you have some great hobbies. Some of you like to build things with your hands, right? Anybody here like to build things? Anybody like woodworking? Okay. Anybody like working with metal? Anybody here like knitting? Crocheting? Anybody here like to paint? Getting artists among us? You know, I can paint. My wife doesn't make, see, you thought I was going to say I paint pictures. No, my wife doesn't let me paint because she gets more on the stuff on the floor and the carpet and on the furniture and stuff than gets on the walls. And, you know, so I don't have to paint. But see, my idea of painting a room, put as much paint on as you can get on it and leave it run. You know, that way everything's covered, right? You know, I think everybody ought to take a gallon of paint and just throw it on a wall, and each wall could be a different color. You know, not only do people paint houses and things, there are some people that do some tremendous thing with paints in their home and that. But just think about these people that paint on a canvas. Think of the paintings that you see out there that have been there for years and years and years. You know? God gave us a mind that is creative. God gave us a mind that is beyond all reason. You know, is there a reason why somebody was able to step on the moon? Huh? Why? Somebody thought it could be done. Right? Right? Now, some of you are going to tell your age here. But is there anybody here that have been told years back that you could fly all the way around the world? You could go all the way around the world in 24 hours, that you'd believe them? I mean, there was a time when you couldn't get all the way around Butler in 24 hours. Right? You know, think about it. Think about your lifetime. What it was like when you were a kid. Some of you didn't have televisions. Right? Yeah, kind of a lot of us didn't have televisions when we were kids. And now, you know, I like to watch some of the old Western shows and stuff like that. And Austin's like, man, this is really boring. You know, it's all black and white. You know? Those of you that had first television that were black and white, that was pretty good. Huh? Did you ever think it was going to be colored? Huh? Huh? How many saw The Wizard of Oz when it was all black and white? Yeah, some people turned up their hands, huh? Yeah, there was an original version of The Wizard of Oz that was all black and white, and then they decided to colorize it. I mean, The Wizard of Oz has been around since, what, 1939? Somewhere like that. You know? You look at our mind, and God says, I give you all the ability to think, to create, to investigate. He says, I give you that, but I give you a helmet to protect your thoughts. You know, if you want to have a life the way God wants you to have it, your thoughts need protected, don't they? Can you control your mind? Anybody here have total control of their mind? Because if you do, I'd like you to tell us, the rest of us, how it happened. You know? And think about it. You know, does Satan attack us through our thoughts? Oh. And then you have a thought, and the first thing he says was, oh, wait, he goes back and attacks that other area and says, you can't be a Christian because you're not worthy because you just had that bad thought. Build your house upon the rock, and the rock remains solid. What's the scripture say? Go. It says, the rain came down, the winds blew, and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. Okay? If you're a Christian today, you will be attacked and deceived by the wiles of Satan. Be prepared. Be prepared, because I guarantee you that Satan is going to attack. I guarantee you that Satan is going to come after us in ways that we can't imagine, even though our minds are very imaginative. I can guarantee you that not one of you are free from that attack. You know why I can guarantee that? The Word of God tells me that even though I built my house on the rock, the storm still came. Wait a minute. Just because I built the house on the rock, I still got storms? The Bible says, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. But the storms still come. No matter how good a Christian you are, Satan will try to deceive you. Satan will try to drive a wedge into you that will separate you from God. And it's a struggle that we go with every day. And guess what, folks? Half the time we try to judge others on the battle that they're fighting with Satan, saying, oh, they're not living a very good Christian life. They could be living a great Christian life. Satan's attacking. Job was a man of God. Did Satan attack? Absolutely. Build your house on the rock, Jesus Christ. Storms are going to come. But God has given us his whole armor to defeat the very wiles of Satan. Remember that. Remember that. It's going to happen. You will fight the battle daily. It's not against flesh and blood. Can we ever 100% totally cure flesh and blood issues? Only God can do that. Only God can do that, you know? Think about that. We're not in control of everything that happens. Only God. But we're in a world that we're living. Satan knows the principle works, that if he put on the whole armor of God, he cannot defeat you. Because if you're wearing the armor of God, he cannot deceive you. Okay? If you're wearing the armor of God, Satan cannot deceive you. I'm not saying he's not going to try. But God says, although we're in this world, I have what? What did Jesus say? I have overcome the world. We live in a world. We live in a world that Satan's running to and fro and trying to destroy each and every Christian. We see it every day. You see it in the news. You see it. The world is rampant right now with sin. God says, put on the armor that I give you, because that's the only way that you'll defeat Satan. Stand firmly in the truth that's planted in your heart. Staying free from deception is the one thing that can keep the house from crumbling. Hey, it's still going to rain. The waves are still going to cry. You know, Winnie the Pooh's still going to sit there on his ledge with his barrels of honey and say, oh my, the water's coming up mighty close. We're going to have times in our life where we're going to say, man, Satan is real close to defeating me. Pull out the word of God and say, Satan, Jesus said, I've overcome you. I died to overcome you. Guess what? You can't defeat me if you can't deceive me. And I'm not going to be deceived by you, because Satan, I know who you are. And I know what you're capable of. And I know what you're doing. So, just remember that. There is no storm so great in your life that you can't choose to overcome through the faith in God. We choose to overcome the storms. We choose to go through. Just like Karen saying, her whole left side last week was paralyzed because of her problem. And then she says, but I praise God. Right? The storms are coming. The storms are there. But there is none that we can't defeat when we hold on to Christ. He can't beat us. Let's stand this morning and pray. Jeannie's going to play something this morning, but are you fighting the storm? You know, if you're fighting the storm, if you want to come to the altar and pray, that's fine. You don't have to. You know, God meets us where we are. Okay? God meets us right where we're standing. But if you're fighting a storm this morning, a flesh and blood storm, a storm that's real, that's impacting you, and you believe that Satan is trying to defeat you, just ask God right now to say, God, help me to keep Satan from deceiving me. Because if he can't deceive me, he cannot defeat me. As we pray this morning, if you want prayer, come on forward. The elders, deaconesses will join you for prayer. Pray where you are. But if you're facing a storm and you've been trying to do it on your own, stop. Say, God, I give it all to you. I give it all to you. I want you. I want you to stand before me in the midst of this battle. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can stand strong upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And God, it's guaranteed that Satan's going to attack. It's guaranteed that we will have storms. It's guaranteed that each and every one of us as Christians will have things in our life that we battle with constantly. And it's guaranteed, God, that if we trust in you, you help us through them. We don't know why things come. We don't know why sicknesses come. We don't know why things enter our life and these storms come. But we know that if we stand strong upon your word and your rock, that you said, I'll be there with you and I'll get you through it. If there's any here this morning that have not made a commitment to you, Lord, and they're struggling and they're saying, man, you know, I hear, but I really don't understand. Open that heart. Speak to that heart, Lord. Reach that heart and soften it. That your voice speaks in such a loud manner that they can't sit forth and say, all right, I don't understand any longer. And I choose you, God. We can choose life or death or blessing or cursing. Your word says it's our choice. And God, I ask that each and every one here would choose life. Because you have offered it to each one of us and said, I put it there. It's your choice. As we go forth this week, God, we pray that you will have your hand upon each and every one of us. And as we go out, let us remember, Satan cannot defeat me if he can't deceive me. And so help us to recognize the truth that only comes through your word and your leading and your teaching so that we might be able to stand forth against Satan and all the principalities and powers of this world that are there. Have your way this morning. We ask it in the precious, wonderful name of Christ. Amen.